What a powerful and amazing change took place on the day that Peter preached, the day of Pentecost. You may read of that in Acts chapter 2. Peter, there, had been preaching to men and women, boys and girls, who had the hardest of all hearts, to those who had been so hard as to take God's Son and with wicked hands crucify him. The audience of Peter that day was composed of men of Judea and all that dwelt at Jerusalem. They were the ones who had been brought up in the religion of self-righteousness. Inbred in them was the notion that they had sufficiency in their own works to save themselves. Still more, these were the men and women who had passed by the cross of Jesus Christ itself, and they had reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." They had called Christ a deceiver. They had shouted out for his death. They had said, "He has a devil, why do you hear him?" And Peter had just finished his sermon on the day of Pentecost by putting all of their sin and rebellion right before their face. He had said to them, "Know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." But we read that instead of stopping their ears and in exasperation and hatred crying out for Peter to shut his mouth, rather than that, we read, "When they heard, they were pricked in their hearts and said, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" What accounted for that? This change from stone, rock, to sponge and softness? The Word of God. The mighty grace of God through the Word preached as applied by the Holy Spirit pricked the heart in repentance. That produced the change. God's grace, worked through the Word preached and pressed to the heart by the Holy Spirit, as God had said in Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" The change was not brought about by a clever psychological ploy. It was not brought about by a persuasive appeal, not simply by skillful crowd manipulation. But the change was brought about by the word proclaimed through faithful lips and brought by the irresistible grace of the Holy Spirit. Is this the effect God's word preached has upon you? Is this the effect in your heart that you are pricked? Not that you respond to God's word in the knowledge of Jesus Christ with indifference. Not that you greet Christ today with polite neutrality. Not that you hear the word of God with cold complacency, but you are pricked in the heart. An arrow shoots into your heart over remorse, over sin, and by faith a look to Christ as the Savior from sin. The word of God, which is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, never leaves us the same. The Word of God always accomplishes something, and in every one. It is absolutely impossible that no effect is produced. It shall always, God says, Isaiah 55, verse 11, accomplish that to which I send it. Today there are many in the church world who want to approach the gospel of Jesus Christ and say, "Well, let's look it over." And so the church, they say, should engage in marketing. We should be concerned about our image and the image of the gospel because we want to make it appealing to man. And more the gospel and the word of God, therefore, is put on trial. And the question that is asked is, well, what will it do for me? Why should I want to buy into it? What does it have to offer me? I will inspect it. I will look it over. And if I happen to be appealed to it, and if you put on a good presentation about it, I might pass a judgment of giving it a place in my life. All of that is wrong. Never. It is not man who takes up God's word in his hand but it is the word of God which takes man up in its hands and searches you out, because it's God's word, and God's word stands. There are many today who ask for miracles. They say, well, show us some mighty proof of God's power. You talk so much about God, let's see some evidence of the God you talk about, some dramatic evidence of the Holy Spirit. And so, in the church world, there is much emphasis on dramatic evidences, tongues, speaking in tongues, miracles, healings, holy twitchings, and holy laughter, something that 2020 would like to do a feature on and come with their reporters and say, well, what's it all about? No, that too is all wrong. The greatest miracle is the power of God's grace through His Word to prick the heart in repentance and trust in Christ. The greatest power of God that He performs is not shaking a room or removing a mountain and casting it into a sea. Oh, yes, He can do that. He can, through thunder and lightning and by mighty power, tear a mountain out of its roots and cast it into the midst of the sea. But that's not His greatest power. His greatest power is compared to a pinprick. Yes, when He touches the heart, which is hard, and He makes it soft with tears of repentance and trust in Christ. That's the mighty power of God. Do you know about that? What is the heart? We read in Acts 2, verse 37, that as a result of Peter's preaching the gospel, they were pricked in the heart. What is the heart? There are those who say, well, it broke my heart, by which we mean it moved and it touched me. Maybe you say, well, everyone knows what the heart is. Why spend time talking about it? It's very obvious. But that's exactly the problem. Many think that they understand the term heart, but very few do. What does the term heart mean in the Holy Bible? Well, the word heart refers to our spiritual center. The word heart refers to the spiritual life that we have before God. It is not simply feelings or emotions, but it is that spiritual center that God has created. And that heart can assume toward God only one of two positions, either one of rebellion and hatred, which is the position of all men by nature. All men by nature are hardened in heart. Or by the grace of God, that heart is transformed. The life of Christ is placed into it so that now we stand before God soft, believing, and contrite. It's the center, then, of our spiritual life. My life as it is lived from my heart as I stand before God. That's the heart. It's the source of all of our life. So that it's not simply feelings. It's much more than that. It is my life as I live before God. These men and women, then, were pricked in the heart, pierced into their deepest core of their being, smitten, crushed, their own unbelief exposed to them, their own rebellion and sin, their wickedness shown to them, and the gospel of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ explained to them. They were pricked in the heart. Now the Word of God, then, always brings a response in the heart. Stephen, too, had preached, and he's going to preach in Acts chapter 7. Then, after his preaching, we will read that when they heard the things that Stephen preached, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, basically preaches the same message that the Apostle Paul or Apostle Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. The word was preached to them, and their hearts also were opened, and they understood very clearly what Stephen said. They could not simply shrug it off. It got to them, and they hated it. And they stopped their ears, and they ran upon him, and they did everything to stop him from saying another word. Are you that way? Do you tolerate the Word of God just so long as it does not dig too deep and tell you that all is not okay with you? A hard heart also hears the Word of God and rejects it. That heart, the Word actually makes them soft, makes them harder. That's always the case. But then there is the saving work of the Holy Spirit. That saving work of the Holy Spirit is known in this, that when the Word comes to such a heart, it brings a conviction of sin. The same Word of God is preached, not a different Word of God, the same Word of God. What accounts for the difference? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who enters into the heart and prepares that heart and softens that heart and brings that heart to a godly sorrow. God accomplishes this, both the hardening of the heart and the softening of the heart, by the Word, by the preaching of the Word. Peter, in Acts chapter 2, preached with boldness. In fact, all of the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts was always characterized by boldness. Peter was unwilling to compromise any of God's truth. Peter did not seek first to tailor his message, to adjust his message, to be acceptable to the ears of the men and women that he preached to. No, he took his message straight from God, and he delivered the word exactly as God made it known to him. When he preached in boldness, that does not mean that he preached rudely or crudely. There was nothing crude or rude in Peter's sermon. It was straightforward, clear, explicit, hard-hitting, and faithful. Most Christians today look up against preaching, which is preaching with boldness, and they say that the preacher has a devil in him. Peter was very plain and frank. He was unencumbered with fear. As Peter preached, it was not current in his mind, "What will they think of me if I say this?" but rather, "What will God think of me if I don't teach and tell his truth?" And so he preached the whole gospel of Christ crucified against the background of man's sin and rebellion before God. This same Peter, who only a little while before, when Jesus was crucified, was afraid that a damsel was going to identify him as a disciple, afraid of a little girl, now, given the Holy Spirit of Christ in his heart, has no fear of men before him. He is preaching in the Spirit of God. That's not a rambling on and on, but it was a careful understanding of the Scripture, a conviction that it is God's Word and the speaking of that Scripture of the truth in love. 3,000 people in his audience were stung in their heart through the Word preached unto them. In his preaching, Peter did not hesitate to contradict the expressed ideas of men. Some of them, in the crowd, you might remember, had said that the disciples, the apostles, were drunk. When Peter got up to preach, the first words out of his mouth were to contradict that. He says, "These are not drunken, as you suppose." Now, there are many experts who would say, "That's a bad way to begin, Peter, to openly contradict your audience. You should try to gain some type of agreement. You should try to manipulate and bring some selling techniques." No, Peter is not interested in that. He's interested in the truth. He will speak as one who will bring the truth. And then we read that he went on to tell them exactly what they had done. "You have taken the very Son of God in flesh, and by wicked hands you have crucified him upon a cross." And he goes on to tell them what God has done. "God has raised his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead and exalted him to all power." And he ends up by plainly telling them what they did and what God has done. He is very frank, and he calls them to repentance and faith. God uses the preaching of the Word of God to prick the heart. God does that through one who brings the Word faithfully, a preacher who will feed God's people with the living and nourishing Word of God, faithful preaching. Now we know that the Apostle Peter on that day had direct revelation from God. That is no longer the case today. Today we have the Word of God. The Word of God is the perfect Word of God. It is inspired, that is, breathed or given of God, so that the Bible is word for word the Word of God. Of this Bible we read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that it is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Bible is the expression of God's heart. The Scripture tells everything. The Scripture lays open the heart. The Scripture reaches down into the soul. All that is necessary is for the church to faithfully preach the Word of God. The way to the heart of man is to preach the Word of God. We read in Psalm 68, verse 11, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those who published it." How tragic it is for men to mount pulpits in the church and to prattle about the ideas of men, or to consult the latest fads, or to take their sermon from some secular event, or to apply mass marketing techniques to the church. How sinful! Food has been provided by God. The means are given by God. The mighty power of God is in His Holy Scripture. That is the calling of the church. The calling of the church is to preach the Word of God, and your calling as a believer is to hear that Word of God and to attend a church where the Word of God is preached to you in truth. The organization of the worship service of your church is not something that's incidental, but the organization of your worship service must be around the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God in all of its truth, in clarity, and in truth, aimed at reaching the heart. This pricks the heart. This hardens so that some go away, hardened in their sin. But this is also the way of peace and pardon in Jesus Christ. They said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They must admit what Peter has said as being the truth. They acknowledge that they have sinned. Understand their words when they say to Peter, "What shall we do?" They're not thinking they're of doing something themselves to remove the burden of their guilt, but they're saying, "We are at an utter loss as to what we are to do in this terrible situation." Their question means we are completely confess our guilt and our helplessness before God. We submit to the word that you have preached. The word has produced the consciousness of our sin, but that word now must also show us the way of the deliverance from our guilt and sin. And so Peter says to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's the way, faith and repentance. This too is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who pricks, and it's the Holy Spirit who works faith and repentance, an irresistible work. It's all of grace that God performs through His Word. That same instrument, the preaching of the Word of God, is what you must hear. As a member of the church, whatever church that may be, you must hold fast to this in a day when the preaching of the Word of God is substituted for all kinds of things which claim to be able to do the work of God. You must see to it that your church faithfully, carefully, and unashamedly preaches the Word of God. You must be aware of this personally. You must go to church. You must attend the church where the Word of God is proclaimed in its purity. And under that preaching, you enter into God's workshop. There God shall give you to know your heart. There God shall expose sin for sure, but He shall also comfort. He shall inflict wounds, but He shall bind them up in the balm and healing ointments of Jesus Christ. There God will bring to you the knowledge of Christ and Him crucified. You need to be there. And you must pray that that Word of God does its work in your heart. Does the Word of God convict you? Does it slay you? Does it prick? Does it bring to you a knowledge of sin? Does it comfort you? The glorious gospel of Christ, crucified and risen, does it leave you with no place to turn? Nothing that you can do except the cross and Christ, producing a change of heart in you, so that you are broken up in holy sorrow and brought to the amazing joy of Christ, given for me all of the grace of God. May that word be spoken to you in boldness and in truth. May you seek out that truth, and may that word continue to accomplish God's purpose in you, to prick your heart so that it bleeds in sorrow and is filled with the glorious Christ of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. May the church not sell the truth. May the church not express unbelief in thy word by looking to other things to accomplish thy purpose. But may thy church be faithful to preach the word in boldness and in truth. Continue to gather unto thyself, to Jesus Christ, through thy word, thy church. Defend and protect her by the truth of thy word. Give to us a love for the sound preaching of thy word. Amen.